attitude adjustment.
You need an attitude adjustment.
You need an attitude.
Right. Look at your other neighbor and say, you need an attitude adjustment. Now here's the hard one, because those are pretty easy. Alright? Right, now, look at the ceiling, because remember we all got to look at the ceiling when we talk to God. Look up and say, God,
I
need an attitude adjustment.
I need an attitude adjustment.
Man, getting humble is difficult. Alright? Getting humble is difficult. Only by using God's principles are we going to really ever change who we are. You know, human philosophy is one of those things where we talk about, you know, you get a better attitude and, you know, attitude determines your altitude and all of those sorts of things. That's all just about, that's a physical change, just a mindset. Well, what causes our mind to be the way that it is? And that's the condition of our heart. And so we talked about that last week. We talked about how we have to avoid getting in bad day duels with other people and talking about who's had a worse day. We talked about this first verse in Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And how that means that we have to be cheerfully happy.
Amen.
Not because of the conditions in our life, but we have to be cheerfully happy because of the conditions in our heart.
Amen.
That we're filled with Christ. And if Christ gives us the hope of glory, that our eternity is secure, that our happiness isn't in people, that our happiness isn't in possessions, that our happiness isn't in circumstances, that our happiness is in God.
Amen.
And that is constant and unchanging. And that brings us to that third point, that rejoice in the Lord always, continually. The source of our happiness has to be unchanging. And then we looked at Jeremiah 29:11, where the word says, for I know, God speaking, says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declared the Lord, plans for welfare and not calamity, to give you a future and a hope. And that this understanding that God is in control and that our present circumstances aren't the end, that our present circumstances are a thing we're passing through to move into God's plan, should give us peace, understanding that God is in control even when we feel like we're out of it. And then I think the verse we closed with last week was Proverbs 23:7. For as a man thinketh within himself, and I think I'm quoting that from the King James, because this says, for as he thinks within himself, so is he. The way that we think determines who we are. And we closed out with a statement last week where I talked about how we all talk to ourselves. Sometimes out loud, but we all talk to ourselves. We do something stupid and we like to tell ourselves how stupid we are for doing stuff. And I left off with this. I said, would you let somebody else talk to you the way you talk to yourself?
No.
Don't get caught in the trap of treating yourself worse than you would accept from someone else.
Amen.
You know the condition of your heart. Treat yourselves appropriately. I want to show you a verse this week. For those of you who were here on Wednesday, we talked about this particular verse Wednesday night. So Proverbs chapter 26, it says, he who hates disguises it with his lips, but he lays up deceit in his heart. When he speaks graciously, don't believe him, for there are abominations in his heart. What this is saying is changing the words you speak without changing the condition of your heart is not what we are talking about. That, you know, sometimes I almost say some things and I stop myself. But guess what? I'm not going to stop myself. Changing your words and not changing your heart is what classic Christianity is.
Yeah.
That's why Christianity is where it is today. That's why people have the opinion of the church that they have. That's why people have the opinion of Christians that they have.
Yeah.
Call Christians a bunch of hypocrites and all this other stuff. Because you know what? Well, they are.
That's right.
Yeah.
Did he just say that? Yeah. Because that's what we do.
Right.
That's not how you ought to act. Well, let's forget about how you ought to act for a minute and let's talk about why you're acting that way.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right.
Because that stuff is all a manifestation of the condition of your heart.
Amen.
We talked about changing your attitude, and what I'm not talking about is changing the way we act like we think. We actually have to change the way we think.
Amen.
We don't change the way we behave. we change the reason why we behave.
That's right.
You see, your attitude determines who you are, not your words. How many times have we listened to people's words and then been disappointed by what they've done?
Amen.
Right?
Yep.
That's probably more common than not.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Next week you have a guest speaker. The week after that, I'm going to conclude this series on attitude. And the week after that, so 3 weeks from now, we have a guest speaker coming. And I'll let you know, Scott's going to be sharing his testimony with us about how his life has changed. But it fits nicely because I know why his life has changed. Has God worked a miracle in his life? You better believe it. But you know what? That's not it. That is not it. Because God's been trying to heal him for 10 years. Why did it just now work?
He finally got it.
Because he got his head in the right space. And you know, he'll tell you better than I can about people telling you one thing and then doing something else.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And we've seen it only gets magnified in the situation he came out of, but you see that in everybody's life.
Yeah, right.
Because he who hates disguises it with his lips, but the deceit is in his heart.
Right.
The actions are what determines what is real. We have to come to a realization that we need a change in our lives, and that change has to be real enough, it has to be substantial enough that it not only changes our words, but that it changes the things that we do. That's why attitude is so difficult. Because attitude is so real that people see it. People understand how attitude makes a big difference. And so people that have no knowledge of what causes a mind change talk about changing your attitude. And what happens then? That's when you get mind over matter. Right? That's when you get, just be positive. That's when you get, I'm reaching back about 10 years for this, but it's a real thing. Anybody who's ever watched Oprah know what I'm talking about. The secret. Tell the universe that you want something from it, and the universe will bring it into your life. Nope. Not how that works.
Right.
Now, is there a touch of truth to it? You better believe there is. That's why, does it work sometimes? Sure, that's just enough truth in it to get it to work. I mean, you know, it's kind of like the thing, you know, I want to be successful in my business. And so, you know, well, what are my goals going to be? Well, my goals are do $100,000 a month in sales. So you write $100,000 on a piece of paper and you tape it to your mirror so you see that every morning. And you got these affirmations that you say every morning. And so, yeah, so you know what? You're always thinking about this and so you're focused on it. And did maybe that work? Sure it did. But, you know, saying, I really want a Lamborghini and putting a picture of a Lamborghini in your bathroom mirror, and that's fine, but you don't change any behaviors in your life, guess what?
No,
you keep driving your Yugo, that's what.
That's
right.
Right?
I saw one of those the other day. That's why I said,
I owned one of those.
There is no way that thing had the original motor in it. I mean, it at least got to change out the hamster or something, right? But what you need to understand is when we talk about attitude, when we talk about mindset, even if you want to call it that, you want to call it paradigm, there's a bunch of things you can call it. But that is not a mind problem. That's an inner man problem. That's about, if we want to change that, we have to change our inner man. And you need to start to understand that's God's territory to change,
that's
not
right.
yours.
That's right.
And God can change it.
Amen.
God can change it. I mean, let's look for a minute at this. In Luke 6, it's a frequent verse for us, but it says, the good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. I've talked about this verse a lot with you guys, so I think most of you have probably heard this before, but it's worth hearing again. What this is talking about isn't the words you choose. This is talking about the words you speak when you don't have time to choose your words.
Amen.
This is talking about that the thing happens and you react. That becomes the barometer of the condition of your heart.
Amen.
Right? In the King James, it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And that creates an image in my mind of a bucket full of stuff, and then a bump in the road happens, and something sloshes over the edge. In my mind, that's how that works. When you lose control for a second, what sloshes out? I mean, you all live with yourselves, and you know, right? Now, let's go back to our foundation here. Philippians 4, in verse 9, he says, the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. Amen. We're going back and looking at some more verses in a minute. I don't want you to think we're at the end here. We've got a whole another week to go yet. But this is our last verse we read this morning, right? In our passage. This says the God of peace. Pretty good translation. It's God of peace. The word here that's really that's used here is really interesting. You Bible research guys will get all over this. That word means a lot of things. It means peace. And it means happiness. It means healing. It means prosperity. And it means well-being. That's what that word means. And it's no one English word really encapsulates what that Greek word means. And it's interesting. I mean, it's prosperity, not necessarily in a financial connotation. It can be. But it's talking about prosperity in relationships, and prosperity in the world, and prosperity in life, and prosperity in your social engagements. And I think we all know, I think we all get the feeling, right, of what that's talking about. And I mean, let's think about people you know that just have a bad attitude. Right? Everybody know what I'm talking about? Do you see them prospering? I mean, I get it. You know, we all kind of want to give them a pass. Well, if I had to deal with everything they've been dealing with, my attitude would probably be that way too. You know what I'm here to tell you? They don't have their attitude because they're dealing with what they're dealing with.
That's right.
They're dealing with what they're dealing with because of their attitude. Am I saying nothing bad ever happens to people with a positive attitude? No, that's not what I'm saying. But you sure change your chances. And isn't that what this is really about? Isn't that what this is really about? I don't know about you, but I want prosperity.
Amen.
I want this God of prosperity. I want to thrive in every aspect of my life. I want to be fulfilled. I want to have peace. I want to be happy. I want to have health. I don't want to be scraping for nickels. I want prosperity in every area of my life. Well, a lot of us, I mean, this is a Bible church, a lot of us have been sitting under the Word and applying God's principles, and you know what? A lot of us are pretty blessed. Right? But I'll be the first to tell you, I'm not blessed in every area of my life. The Lord has blessed me in many, many things. Is there, are there areas in my life where my attitude's probably not squared away? Yeah. Guess what? I need an attitude adjustment. Guess what? So do you. Let me tell you something. This is for somebody. Who this is for? I don't know. I don't know. Somebody needs to hear this. So all of you listen up, because this is for one of you. Ready? This is not a competition.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is this. This is not about your attitude being better than the person next to you.
Amen.
And this is not about you sitting there, because you're doing this right now. I don't know who it is, but what are you doing? You're doing this right now. You're listening to this, man, you're listening to this, and this is your thought. Well, I'm doing a lot better now. There's not a scoreboard, guys.
Amen.
This isn't about you doing better than your neighbor.
Sorry.
This isn't about you doing better than that guy in the back row. This isn't about you doing better than me. This is about you being a better you.
Amen. That's right.
That's what this is about. And so you got to be receptive to this. Because I'll tell you what, right now, I don't care what we're teaching on. We can teach on attitude, we can teach on healing, we can teach on salvation, we can teach on forgiveness, you name it. If you think it's not for you, guess what?
It
won't work for you. If you want to improve any aspect of your life, this is where you have to start.
That's right.
And it's not that you're doing better than me. You can do better than what you're doing now.
That's right. That's right.
So listen up. All right. I'll give you a couple of indicators that says you need a change. I want you to think for a minute about your problems and your challenges. Got it? Everybody got a mental picture of your problems and your challenges. How are you responding to life in that area of your life? How are you just responding to the problems that you know you have? Ready for this one? How do you respond when you catch your pinky toe and the light's out on the coffee table? Do you respond to that being thankful that you are blessed enough in your life that you have meaningless furniture sitting out in the middle of the room? Are you living with an attitude of gratefulness and thankfulness?
It could be worse.
Or are you talking about that gosh darn table? You fighting with your boss? I want to show you something. Try to give you a visual of this. All right. That in an airplane is called that line across the middle there in an airplane is called the artificial horizon. Right? It's interesting. If you ever go to ground school, they say something that really makes you do a double take. They say, this is your artificial horizon. It's better than the real one.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a funny thing to say, but it's true because it's always perfectly flat.
Yeah.
But you know what this is about? They call this the plane's attitude. Because it's not about how high you are or how low you are. It's not about whether you're tilted to the left or tilted to the right. Because you might be turning. So that might not be flat. It might not be supposed to flat right now. It might not supposed to be flat right now. Right? The line might be down because you're climbing. The line might be up because you're descending. It's not about right or wrong. What this is about is being aware of the position of the plane relative to its surroundings. It's amazing they chose the word attitude because that's exactly what your attitude is. It determines where you are relative to your surroundings. Because guess what? If you have a godly attitude and things are good, how's your attitude? If a godly attitude and things are bad, how's your attitude? It determines your position relative to what's going on around you. So, I mean, we throw out these terms like a good attitude and a bad attitude and make that relative to what's going on around you. Because your life is going to fly according to your attitude. That's how you're going to end up. So when we set our attitude to rejoice, to be calmly, cheerfully happy, not because of what's going on around us. I'm not cheerfully, calmly happy because of the way my life is. How am I in relation to that? My life falling apart. I am cheerfully, calmly happy because the source of my happiness isn't my circumstances, isn't my position, it isn't my relationships, it isn't my friendships, it isn't my financial well-being.
Amen.
The source of my happiness is God, who never changes.
Amen.
Now, the next indication that you have that you might need a little attitude adjustment is the history of your life. Because you know what, guys? A news for you. This is not, because you ever see an investment commercial where the James Financial Group is on TV and they're advertising their mutual funds and they say the same thing at the end every time. All of our customers have made all this money, blah, 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 blah. And then they end up and there's a voiceover and a guy says, past performance is not an indicator of future results.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, that's probably true. But in your life, there is no better indicator of your future results than your past performance.
Amen.
Look at your life. What have you done before? Right? If you've had 76 jobs because you keep getting fired, or you keep quitting, or you have a bunch of bad bosses, right? Everybody say truth hurts.
Truth.
All right. If you continually have problems on your jobs, I'm going to ask you a question. What is the constant thing across all of those jobs that never changed?
You.
You.
That's right.
You and your attitude is the problem. And until your attitude changes, until who you are changes, guess what you're going to have on your next job? Well, and the one after that, and probably the one after that, because you're going to keep losing jobs and keep quitting.
That's right.
Because you are still a problem. Past performance. There is no better indicator of future results. And so I'm telling you right now, if you look at your past and go, this went wrong that time, and this went wrong that time, and this went wrong that time, and this went wrong that time, until you can stop making an excuse for everything that went wrong, and you can step up and say, I'm the problem. When you can own up to being the problem, guess what you can do? Start to fix the problem. I mean, look at your track record. Does that kind of say, maybe I need to have a better attitude in some situations? Because for most of us are not total screw-ups. Right? Most of us go, you know what, I'm pretty good here, I'm pretty good here, I'm pretty good there. But man, I always keep having problems with this in this area of my life. Right? Well, guess where we need an attitude change? In that area of your life, you keep messing up. And maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your relationships. Right? Maybe it's your health. Right? Because, well, it doesn't matter what it is. If you're specific in one area of your life where you keep having problems over and over again, guess what? You got something that needs to change in that area of your life.
Amen.
Now, so I was thinking about this. I spent days thinking about this. Past performance, future results. Why do we keep making the same mistakes over and over again? Why do we find ourselves in the same problems over and over again, right? Because, I mean, as a pastor, as a minister, it's amazing. And any of you that have worked in a, it doesn't have to be a congregation. Any of you have worked at the same family members. It could be the same family. You all know this. I'm not about to tell you anything you don't know. But when Cousin Frank shows up, and you go, well, that means he broke again. Right?
Amen.
We've all got that family member, don't we?
Yep.
Right? And you got that co-worker who comes walking in looking all messed up, and like, his girlfriend left him again. Right? Yep. We all know those people that have the same problems over and over, right?
Yeah.
I kept thinking about that. What causes that? What causes? I've been looking at the scripture and trying to find it, and it's interesting. Our lives are played out by the theme of our heart. But I want to show you something. In Psalms 45, the psalmist says, "My heart overflows with a good theme." What's your outlook? Right? How do you see things? What's everybody else think about the way you see things? Are you excited to see tomorrow, or are you scared of tomorrow? An exercise we're going to do right quick. Ready?
Yeah.
Everybody focus for a minute. Think about your tomorrow, not your physical tomorrow. 5 years from now, Think about what your life's going to be in 5 years. Now back it up and think about what your life's going to be tomorrow. The things that you're doing tomorrow are the things that are going to determine what's really going to be happening in 5 years.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Because if you're not happy with what you see tomorrow being, you ain't going to be happy with what 5 years from now is going to be. Because it is just going to be 1,500 days of multiplying tomorrow. So when you think about that, and you go, well, 5 years from now is not really 5 years from now. 5 years from now is just a magnified tomorrow. Now, are you happy with what 5 years from now looks like? And if you're not, you need an attitude adjustment. All right. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you once again for your word and this time together. And Father, I just ask that as we've heard from your word today about the importance of our mindset and the importance of the way we think and the importance of who you are in our life and the way we see you in our life determining who we are in this world. Father, I just ask that you would let us be open to change. That you would let us let down our defenses and let down just our resistance to admitting that we need to change. To admitting that we are the pattern that keeps repeating in our lives. And I would just ask that you would just let us open our eyes to what's possible, to what you are capable to do in our lives, and how that, by changing the filter in which we see the world, that we can not only change the way we experience the world, but the world can, we can change the way the world experiences us. So, Father, I just bring these thoughts before you and just ask that you would be present with each and every one of us, that as we go forth from here, that you would let us retain and recall even the things that we've heard today, that we can share them with those in our lives, that we can be an impact in the quality of their lives, and that, Father, that truly we will be able to come together once more, not only to fellowship one with another, not only to hear your word taught, but to celebrate the great things that have come into our lives because of the changes that we have let you guide us to. I thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Thank you all so much. I appreciate you being here today. Next Sunday, you have a guest speaker. It's Bishop Bill.